Welcome to the Living Epistle Podcast, the place where you will find biblical principles to help you live out your faith on a daily basis and to have a positive impact on the lives of others. So, get ready for another powerful episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Hello, my name is Tony Miles, and welcome to this week's episode of Living Epistle Podcast. The inspiration for this week's podcast actually came to me while I was reading a story about a man named George Lyle. And George Lyle had a profound impact on the Baptist missionary movement in America and Jamaica. He was the first African-American to be ordained to the Christian ministry in May of 1775. Okay, so a long time ago, right? And then he also participated in the founding of the first Black Baptist Church in South Carolina. And then he went on to establish the first Black Baptist Church in Savannah, Georgia, right, in 1779. And then he went on to be the first African-American missionary in Jamaica. But here's the crazy part about all of this, my brothers and my sisters, is that he was ordained to the Christian ministry as a slave. That's right. That's right. He did all this work for Jesus in terms of while he was in America and even before he moved to Jamaica while he was a slave. And so literally he was an enslaved person and he was still doing this missionary work for God. And here's what's said of George Lyle. This is the part that just gripped me. It says of him that while a man owned his body, right, his slave master, Jesus Christ was his true master. Jesus Christ was the master of his heart, of his mind, and of his soul. How powerful is that? That here you have an enslaved person, and yet he's doing the work of ministry while an enslaved person. And so when we come to truly understand our purpose, there is a freedom, a true freedom that comes along with it. There's something that's liberating about knowing who we are and what God has called us to do, knowing who we are in God and what God has called us to do, regardless of our physical limitations or our physical circumstances or situations. And all this week, this message of freedom has been ringing in my ears. It's been all around me. And it was confirmed also this week by just a number of events throughout this week, the first and foremost of which was, of course, reading the biography of George Lyle. And then I heard testimonies of brothers who have been going into the county jails this week and preaching to inmates about the Apostle Paul and his ministry. Guess where? While he was in prison, right? And then I were hearing testimonies this week of brothers who have been in severe physical pain. I mean, severe physical pain and wanting to call out and to shrink back and to take a moment and a pause. And yet they still were able to fulfill their ministry assignments. They still fulfill their ministry assignments, even in the midst of their pain. And there are all these stories that are relating to freedom and bondage, right? They're all interrelated. And so, but there's something that's common in all of these, and there's this freedom, there's this liberty in Christ that is this common thread, right, on these stories. And so I wanted to go to the Word to see what the Lord has to say about freedom, and I went to John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36, and I'll read these because this will be the backdrop or the framework for this for the context of this podcast today. And it reads, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and this is Jesus talking. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered and said to him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son of Man makes you free, you shall be free indeed." All right. And I promise I'm not going to preach a sermon, but there were just so many good nuggets in here. The first thing that Jesus talks about in this passage of scripture is he talks about abiding in him. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 begins with this conditional promise. They start with if. And three things follow this initial if, which he speaks to the people who had already expressed belief in him. He says, if you abide, if you accept, if you continue in my word, then, so they're conditional, if then, if you do this, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, right? So he says that the remaining connected to or abiding in him, remaining connected to him or abiding in him, his message is the true measure of discipleship, right? We are truly disciples then if we are abiding in him. And what is a disciple? A disciple is first a believer who has expressed faith in Jesus Christ. And this means that they have surrendered their will and put Jesus at the center of their life. And it is what separates people who are really free from those who appear to be Jesus's followers for a time. And how many of you have known people who say they believe in Jesus, but when life gets tough, they turn to everyone and everything except Christ, right? And continuing in God's word, abiding in God's word, dwelling with Jesus is the only lasting path to true freedom. And how do we know this? A lot of scripture this week, and I'm not going to apologize, but I want you to hang with me here. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. Right. So what does all of that mean? But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And so now let's talk about what is truth. Perhaps you heard John 8:32, right, when he's taken outside of its biblical context and turned into an abstract concept or simply used as a common phrase. But in the gospel, truth does not refer to a philosophical idea or merely the opposite of falsehood. No, no, no. Biblical truth is the knowledge of God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Knowing this truth is knowing God. God made present in Jesus, who is, by the way, the way, the truth, and the life, John 14 and 6. And Jesus makes this clear in John 8:36 when he says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Here he substitutes the Son for the truth, saying that the Son makes people free, the S-O-N, as Son and truth. Right? Jesus is both Son and Jesus is truth. Jesus is S-O-N, capital S-O-N, and he's truth. Jesus makes himself the very revelation of God. And so when we live in a time, right, brothers and sisters, where people, to most people, and we hear this all the time, I mean, almost weekly, where people will say, or believe that truth is relative. How do we know? We hear people say all the time, right? Well, you live your truth. Well, here's the problem with that notion of your truth. People living truth or living quote unquote their truth, but here's the problem. They're still bound. What do I mean? They're bound by drugs. They're bound by alcohol. They're bound by sexual identity confusion. They're bound by a lack of education, or they're bound by an abundance of education, right? Relying on it, or they're bound by finances, or they're bound by the lack thereof of finances. They're bound by socioeconomic status, whether high or low. I mean, you get the point. There's so many other things that people rely on other than the word of God, right? And so they say, live your truth. And so then we have bought into the lie that truth is relative, and what's true for you may not be true for me, but as long as you're living your truth and I'm living my truth and he's living his truth and she's living her truth, that we're okay. But no, my brothers and sisters, we must know that there is absolute truth. Absolute truth. There is no relative truth. There's absolute truth, and his name is Jesus. It is found, this absolute truth is found in the person of Jesus the Christ. And when we get to know him, we get to know truth. We get to know truth by abiding, by dwelling, by living in God's word. And so then what is this freedom that Jesus talks about? What is this freedom? This Jesus mentioned a freedom offends his hearers, right? What do we mean? Who insists that they've always enjoyed freedom, even though ironically, Jesus and his Jewish contemporaries at the time Jesus was living were living under Roman rule. And so this sounds so familiar to us today. People insist that they are their quote unquote own man, or quote unquote, they're their own woman, or quote unquote, they're self-made, and nobody can tell them what to do. Right? I just love how we see the parallels. Human nature hasn't changed throughout the time from the garden. It hasn't changed, but certainly we see it here where these people are saying, Jesus, what are you talking about? We're of Abraham's seed. And so nobody can tell us what to do. Meanwhile, they're living under Roman rule and Roman occupation. And so here it is. Jesus contends, though, that without him, they live as slaves, right? Why? How can you say that, Jesus? Well, first, and even us today, if we don't know Jesus, how can we say, well, you're still living, maybe not as a physical slave in terms of being enslaved by a person, but you're living in slavery, you're living in bondage. And bondage to what? Just like back in Jesus' day, they're enslaved, number one, to sin. They're living as oppressed people according to sin. Second, the slavery. Slavery relegates them to an inferior status because of it, they cannot claim a permanent place or an identity in God's family. And so Jesus reminds them that as the Son, the S-O-N, only he can ensure true freedom and secure membership in God's family. And guess what, my brothers and my sisters, that has not changed today. And so the principal focus of this passage is on the freedom from sin's clutches. And still this passage finds new ways of offending us today in 2024, right? To say Jesus brings freedom implies that people are still living in bondage. People are still enslaved. And we don't like to hear today, especially with our houses and our cars and our education and our internet and all of this modern technology and all the trappings of success. We do not like to hear that we are still living an enslaved life or in ways that are enslaved. And so much of our modern lives tries to reassure us that we're not, or that we should be free from any constraints, right? And so we often hear people talking about self-realization and self-actualization and self-sufficiency and all of these terms. And we perpetuate these myths that we are at the mercy of no forces or no one that we cannot control. And all I have to say to that is, can you say COVID-19? Caught the world by storm, caught the world by surprise, caused the world to shut down, right? And so again, but God knew, and God already was prepared for that. But anyway, I don't need to go back to 2020. Let's talk about just what happened a couple weeks ago. How about the recent earthquake in New York? Right? Which affected the entire Northeast region of the United States. And I could go on and on and on with natural disasters and things happening all around us that impact us, over which we have no control. So how do we know that we need to rely on a power higher than ourselves? Well, I'm going to do a quick reality check, a gut check, right? So let me ask this question. How many times have we said, right, Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I promise, what we say, come on, y'all finish it. That's right. I'll never do it again. And what do we find? We find ourselves going right back into that situation that we swore we never would do again. And I hear you. I hear you saying amen. And I see you putting your head down. Because guess what? All of us, and that's something I can truthfully say, is all of us have found us in that situation where we made a promise to never do something again. God delivers us. He sets us free. And we find ourselves going right back into Egypt, right back into bondage. Here it is, my brothers and my sisters. But in Christ, we must know that sin, this self-indulgent nature, really, truly has no power over us. But let me be clear. It has no power over us when we are yielded to Christ. So no one, not even Satan, can make us do anything that's contrary to God's word. Galatians 5:16 tells us, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then you know this one. This is the scripture verse that I quote all the time, that I know by heart, that's in my belly whenever I'm being tempted, whenever I'm in a place where I'm tempted to yield to sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except as such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with every temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So don't blame God. Don't blame God. And don't say the devil made you do it. It's something you wanted to do, because God will always provide a way of escape. And so that's the reactive. Now let's look at the proactive. In Christ, we are truly free. We are free to be who God has made us. We don't have to try to be anybody else. One of the things I tell brothers and sisters all the time is be you. Be who God has called you to be. Be your authentic self in God, because you can reach people I never can. I can reach people you never can. We can reach audiences that each of us can't, because God has made us. We're uniquely, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so God did not make a mistake when he made you. He did not make a mistake when he made me. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And what does that mean? So we are free to give, expecting nothing in return. We are free to love, even when the object of our affection doesn't seem to reciprocate, right? We are free to share what God has placed on our hearts to do without feeling embarrassed or feeling ostracism or feeling retaliation, right? And most of all, we are free because we put our trust totally and completely in God. No matter what the situation or the circumstance we may find ourselves in, we know that God is right there with us. And this is so liberating, to know that we don't have to handle it on our own. It's so freeing to know that whatever situation we find ourselves in, the prison house, in the jailhouse, in the drug house, in the crack house, in the poor house, in the bankruptcy court, wherever you fill in the blank, wherever it is so freeing to know that we are never alone. And I'll close with this. 1 Corinthians 9:19, and it reads, though I am free of obligation to anyone, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. And I understand, what does this mean? I understand that my life is not my own, that I was bought with a price, and therefore I'll glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which belong to God. Because at the end of the day, our responsibility, my brothers and my sisters, is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is to make disciples. It is to let people know about the true and the living God, this risen Savior that we serve, who liberates, who frees, who heals, who sets us on a high in heavenly places with him, even when we may be physically bound by physical ailments and mental ailments and constrained in prison houses. But nonetheless, guess what? We are free, because the word of the Lord says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So we are free to go and to make disciples. We're free to share the love of Christ. And I challenge you, my brothers and my sisters, to be free. Walk in this freedom. Walk in this freedom that God has given us. And remember, preach the gospel at all times. And when necessary, use words. This is Tony Miles. Thanks for listening. Now go and be a living epistle. Join us again next week for another episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Music for Living Epistle Podcast is provided by Audionautix.com.